Hello. You are listening to the Grieving Parents Sharing Hope podcast. We are here to walk with parents on their unwanted journey of child loss, guiding them to a place of hope, light, and purpose, not in spite of their child's death, but as a way to honor his or her life. And now, here is your host, author, speaker, and bereaved parent, Laura Deal.
A few weeks ago, my friend Nancy Weil sent out an email to the rest of us who were presenters on the 2025 Grief Cruise asking what we thought about the difference between regret and guilt, because one of her grief support groups were discussing this. She decided to send the question our way to see what our thoughts were on this. I decided it would make a good topic, so I packed my podcast microphone and took it with me on the cruise so that Nancy and I could talk about it, letting you in on our discussion. Nancy has been a guest on the podcast before, but let me introduce her for those who may not know who she is. Nancy Weil is the founder of the Grief Academy and a leading authority on the relationship between humor and grief. Nancy is known for her energetic, entertaining, and content-rich programs. She has certifications as a grief management specialist, grief service provider, a funeral celebrant, and a laughter leader. Her award-winning Hope After Heartache Grief Support Group meets on Zoom in order to reach people across the country. Now, in doing the Grieving Parents Sharing Hope podcast for over 5 years now, Nancy is only one of three people who has not lost a child that I have had as a guest on this podcast, which says a lot. And that's because I know her personally. I've heard her speak and share, so I know her heart of compassion for us as bereavers. So let's get started. Here is our talk. Well, Nancy, thank you for being willing to let me set up my microphone here on the cruise ship and have a discussion about this topic of the difference between guilt and regret. And although I have to admit, I really didn't give a choice.
you should be regretting you pulled me away from the pool.
Well, at least you didn't come in your swimsuit. So, yeah, I just told you I'm bringing my mic and we're going to do this. So, first of all, do you remember how you sent out an email to us presenters on the cruise, and it was based on a discussion that you were having in one of your support groups? So, how did that discussion come about? What was that about?
So, as we start this discussion, and everybody listening, normally when I'm on a podcast of some sort, I'm an expert. I have it figured out. I know the research. I know this is one that has us all kind of stumped, you know, trying to all figure it out. And it came because someone in the group asked the question, is there a difference, right, between guilt and regret?
Right.
And it led us to a really rich discussion about that, because both are universal. Both are very common and normal feelings when you're grieving. And then I turned to all of us and went, what do you all think? And we all had different responses, which made me realize there's no one answer. You know, there just isn't. And I think some of it is because emotions are messy.
Yeah.
Right? Emotions are messy. And what we might label guilt, maybe it's shame. Maybe it's regret. Maybe it's anxiety. So one person might call it one thing and one person might label it a different thing, because it's hard sometimes to actually identify an emotion you're feeling.
That's true. So true. So in your group discussion, you called them cousins.
I did. I use that a lot because I feel sometimes when we're talking about something, they're not twins. They're not the same, right? Or just even almost the same. There is a separation between them, but they're related.
Okay.
And so when I see things like that, I call them cousins, saying they're in kind of the same family, the same category, but there are differences. They are not the same.
Right, but they are related.
They are related. They are related. They're both in that kind of same group of feelings we have when someone has died. I don't know a person who is grieving. One of the things I say oftentimes is that when someone dies, we tend to look backwards with regret.
Yes.
And forward in fear. And the only place we feel any relief is in the present moment now. That's why I try to teach them different processes and tools to stay rooted in right here now.
So what does that look like? That means we're looking backwards. And I remember somebody saying, and I'm not making this up, in a group, they were like, well, in 1972, we were getting ready for a road trip. We were taking the kids. There was chaos in the house. And I yelled at my husband because he didn't have the car packed yet. That's what came up to her.
Wow.
Right? All those years later, that one time, I now didn't feel bad about it at the time.
Mm-hmm. Right.
A little bit. But here, after this person has died, you do this review.
Yes.
Right? Was I kind? Was I loving? Was I supportive? Was I there for them? Where did I maybe miss the mark? Without thinking, where did they miss the mark too, right? Because we're humans.
Right.
We're not designed to be perfect in relationship all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then we look forward, and it generally, I never hear people talking about, you know, rainbows and unicorns.
Right.
We look forward, and there's a fear, there's an anxiety.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. How will I get through their birthday? How will I do this? How can I do that? It's those kind of feelings of I don't know how to do this. This is uncharted territory.
Mm-hmm.
And so we try to be here now. So we look at regret in that way of I wish I had done something different.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Again, when you know better, you do better, right?
By
Angelou, when you know better, you do better.
Yeah, yeah.
We didn't know, right?
Mm-hmm.
We didn't know. And probably if you ask that person, they wouldn't even remember the incident.
Probably, right. Mm-hmm.
Guilt is really, to me, and we're going to have this discussion, and hopefully people listening to this will add in later their thoughts on this. Guilt is something when we have done something wrong, and we recognize that. Sociopaths do not feel guilty. They don't.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have that in their vocabulary. So guilt is we have done something and we recognize it was wrong. In grief, what I often say is it is misplaced. We're assigning it of guilt.
Yes.
But we really didn't do something wrong. We
right.
did the best we could. We did mm-hmm. all we knew how to do.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes this will come up when someone's had a long illness. Did I do enough?
Mm-hmm.
Did
right.
I get them to the right doctors?
Mm-hmm.
Could I have done something more? If I'd only told them to start eating broccoli, right?
Something, yes. Yeah.
And so that guilt is there. It's true. We are feeling guilty.
Mm-hmm.
But then I always say, go that next step. Is that fair to ourselves?
Right.
Right? Do we really have something to feel guilty about?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we were talking about in the group yesterday about if we had a friend that was in that situation instead of us, would we say, oh yeah, that was terrible. You should have never said that. You should have never done that. You should have never made that decision. This is all your fault. We would never do that to our friend. And yet we so easily do it to ourselves.
There is a need for grace.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right? When it comes to ourselves.
Yes.
And that is something we have a hard time doing. We're very hard on ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And some of it is relational dependent, who it is that died. Did we have control of the situation? It could be that a parent died. When my mom died, my dad made all the medical decisions.
Right.
It wasn't
right.
up to us.
Mm-hmm.
We just had to support him in doing the best he
Even
could.
Even if you didn't agree with it.
I mean, we could mention things, we could suggest, but it was interesting because at one point he felt so alone in trying to make these decisions, if he was making the right ones, the doctor finally said it's time to bring hospice in because medically they will be there to help you so you don't feel like it's all on you making those decisions.
Right, right.
And he felt that then he had people who had much greater knowledge that these were the right choices because she was not able to make her own choices at that point.
Right.
And that's where that sometimes comes in is where is your support system, right? Who are you relying on? But so often the guilt is misplaced.
Mm-hmm. Right?
So as we talk about guilt and regret,
yes.
It's just such a great topic. Guilt is something we put on ourselves, right? It's something that we feel we did. It's an action we took that now we regret.
Right.
I shouldn't use regret again in that sentence because now I'll confuse you. Guilt is something we did something. We said something. Regret is we didn't do something. We didn't say something.
Okay.
That's kind of where our group landed on it, of the difference between the two, that we feel guilty over something we've done,
we feel regret over something we did not do.
Yeah, yeah. Now, you had one woman share that she was feeling guilty that she stepped out of the room, being assured by the hospice staff that her husband was not close to dying, but he died when she wasn't there. And the same thing happened to my brother-in-law, Dave's brother. His wife was in hospice and in the hospital, and they assured him she was fine. He went home to take a shower, and that's when she went. Mm-hmm. And so just the guilt he was feeling, you know, he turned it into guilt that he wasn't there. And one of the things that we felt like was maybe she didn't want you to be there. She didn't want you there during that moment. Maybe it was her choice, you know. And
it's such a meaty topic. First of all, let's blame Hallmark.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We all want that Hallmark movie, and we're holding their hand, and we're just telling them how much we love them as they slip away to the other side, and
mm-hmm.
that's not reality. Mm-hmm.
Right.
So in our mind, I'm supposed to be there.
Right.
Now, you could talk to hospice nurses. I can tell you from all the years I've done this, you could be there 24/7, and you step to go to the restroom,
mm-hmm.
or you step out because the doctor's called you out in the hall for something.
Yes.
And they pass.
Yes.
It happens frequently. I believe you cannot choose the hour you die, but you can choose the moment, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so oftentimes I feel like you, that the person maybe wants to not have you have that as your final memory of being there when they took their
right.
last breath.
Yes.
And oftentimes, I think we feel like we were supposed to be there. Mm-hmm. We were supposed to be there
for our, and we feel like we're supposed to be there for our loved one.
Correct. Right. Mm-hmm. And I think our loved one is saying, I'd rather you not be here.
Right.
That your last memory of me is that final, mm-hmm. you know, sort of death rattle breath. And I think that it's that idea of, if you've been there at all and visiting, or you're listening to their advice of the experts, if you were supposed to be there, then maybe you would have been there.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you weren't supposed to be there.
Right.
Right? And so again, people will carry tremendous guilt over that. Tremendous guilt over that. I should have been there. I should have mm-hmm. been holding their hand. I believe in angels. And I believe and have witnessed that there is an angel, I call it the transport angel, that is there when someone is going to be dying.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't die alone.
Right.
They don't die alone.
I agree.
You may not be there,
mm-hmm.
but their loved ones from the other side might be with them. Not all of them.
That, right.
Right. Somebody might be
there. How often do you hear the story of someone looking up, or they just sit up and they say someone's name? It's like they see them. You can tell they see them, and then they just lay back and they're gone.
Exactly.
So I think it's kind of important to sort this out for people who are grieving, especially these bereaved parents that listen to this. And one story that I share a lot, I've already shared it this week, is that we met a mom whose son had, she was always never went in the house, never went to bed until all of her kids were home safe in the house, you know, then she would lock the doors and all of that. And she says the one night that she did not do that, she told her son it was time to come in. He was older. I think he was young adult, maybe 18, somewhere in there. And she just told him to come in. She went to bed, and there ended up being a drive-by shooting, and he was the wrong one that got shot. And so she blamed herself, the guilt of the one time I didn't make sure he was inside. And she just blamed herself and the guilt. And we saw her again a couple of years ago. And I use that story because she'll sit with other families in a courtroom whose child has been murdered, but she has never forgiven herself for it. And so she came up to me. We were saw her again, and she said, "Laura, I just want you to know it's been 10 years, and I finally have forgiven myself." She finally released that guilt.
And I think there's such a process, and that story, first of all, my heart aches. Mm-hmm. I think we all listening to this, but that comes under what I call magical thinking.
Mm, right, exactly. Then, yes, yes.
Right? If only then, if only they had been inside, if only I hadn't let them drive up to the store, if only then. And unfortunately, we can tell that story, but it doesn't make it true.
That's, yes.
Right? It mm-hmm. doesn't make it true.
Mm-hmm.
And so
things happen. And you know, if you read Rabbi Harold Kushner's book about when bad things happen to good people.
Yes.
And he talks about the difference of why these things happen sometimes to good people, these kinds of random acts. And as he comes to terms with that in his own life, because his son was born with progeria, so he was had the rapid aging disease and was born to die. And he's like, I'm a rabbi, I'm a man of God, I've served you.
Right.
How could you give me a child that is going to die young?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think his son lived to 14 or 15. Mm-hmm. So you're raising a child that you know is going to have all these health challenges and ultimately succumb from it.
Mm-hmm.
And he wrestled with it as a man of God.
Yes.
And I think his book is one of the best things to read around that.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of sometimes boils down to why not me, right? When we say why me.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea of him talking about physics versus fate. If somebody shoots a gun in the air, that bullet by physics is going to come down.
Right.
Right? That's physics. Mm-hmm. And so it's that idea of wrestling with all of this. And that is where tremendous guilt, but again, it's magical thinking. I could have saved them.
Right.
I could have found them. I could have told them. I could have protected them. In a parents, and I'm talking to the expert, it is so much more challenging because from the moment that child has come into our life, and I say it that way because we may not have birthed them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
A child could be adoption. It could be a second marriage. It could be, you know, mm-hmm. the moment that child comes into our life and we embrace and love them.
Yes.
We feel our job is to protect them.
Protect.
Right.
Yes.
We're the adult. We are here to protect them. And that adds to it.
Yes. Right? Because that we feel like we failed.
We failed.
Mm-hmm.
We were supposed to be there for you. Even when it was completely out of our control.
Right.
Even when these things happen. But it is something that we do wrestle with. And I think it's important what I said. And I just want to stress that again. I don't like the word. People can use it if y'all are comfortable with it. But I don't, when I do funeral services and things, I don't like the word step.
Mm.
Right?
Oh, right, right.
Because oftentimes then it means lesser than, lesser love than, lesser attachment than, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I've seen too often.
And that's thanks to Cinderella.
Exactly. No, we're knocking Disney. But I think sometimes, depending on the relationship,
yes,
it can be every bit as deep a love.
Yes.
And so, you know, and so that can be perceived. But again, if you talk about disenfranchised grief, people will recognize it differently out there.
Yes, others will. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I want to recognize that for people, that you have the right to feel and grieve the way you do.
Yes.
You know, don't worry about the labels of what the relationship is.
Yes.
If
thank you.
You love that person. You love them. With that, then comes the regret and guilt, right? These common, common things that accompany. And I think we have to look at who are we serving, right, by carrying that.
Right.
Who are we serving? If our loved one has died, if they're alive, we can make course corrections.
Right.
Okay? But if that person that we've loved has died, who are we serving by carrying that?
Mm-hmm.
Carrying that burden with us.
Yes.
This is where counseling can be wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
This is where practicing self-forgiveness. This is where support groups where you
mm-hmm.
feel that too.
Yes.
Can be helpful. Mm-hmm. So carrying that alone and holding that. And this is where the question comes in that I say, because I did a research study, and this is one of the questions on it, that my loved one would want me to feel joy again.
Uh-huh.
100% of the people said yes. They love me. Of course, they don't want me to grieve forever and have this, you know, kind of shadow over me. So our disconnect is how do we get there?
Right.
And when we're holding ourselves back from the healing process, then we're holding that guilt. We're holding that regret. And who are we serving?
Right.
We're not serving ourselves. We're not serving the loved one who died. We're not serving those around us and our family and our friends. You know, maybe our employers. We have to look at how is this serving me to continue to hold this? Do we think that we are honoring our loved one?
Exactly.
Which we do. We think that that's how we have to do it.
Right.
It's our cross to bear. We have to hold this. And in fact, it's not serving. It's not serving. And that's when we have to recognize as step mm-hmm. one, this is not serving.
Well, and I think, you know, it keeps us sucked under.
Yeah.
It keeps us sucked under, and yet that guilt makes us feel like that's where we deserve to be.
Yes, right.
We feel like we deserve to stay there because I failed my child. So,
and yet I think yeah. what's important is what you said earlier. One of the things that we know is that by making meaning of our loss, it can help us.
Yes.
Right? So meaning from our loss could be I'm helping someone else who has mm-hmm. had a loss. That's your whole life's work.
Right. Yes.
It could be I'm going to participate in a charity run and raise money for a charity that my loved one died from.
Right.
It could be I'm going to plant a tree, mm-hmm. right, in their honor. It could be anything.
It's endless.
But yeah. if you think about I can carry that guilt 10 years, or I can relieve that guilt off of me so I feel free and unburdened to go and help others.
Yes.
Now I can go with that parent to court. Now mm-hmm. I can sit with that parenting group. So sometimes we have to also, if nothing else, say, it is keeping me from helping others in my loved one's name.
Right.
Right?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So Kathy, who is also a presenter on this cruise, her response email to you was, if I had to express it in my words, I would use the word blame. Guilt has an element of blame included in that we blame ourselves for doing or not doing something, and regret is a missed opportunity that makes us sad. Is that just another one of those kind of, we kind of put our own thoughts to what we think the difference is between those two words?
Well, and I think, as she said, regret is what we didn't do, mm-hmm. and guilt is what we did. And then we blame ourselves, right? This blame
yes.
game. And sadly, blame can be outward, the doctors, right? The hospital. Blame, we just need a place to put this emotion, right? Mm-hmm. Of what happened. And if we could just pin it on something, then but we know the truth is why, when someone dies, why is the universal question?
Mm-hmm,
and
yes.
why is the one question that can never be answered? It will never be answered. I could show you mm-hmm. a little autopsy. I could, you know, explain it to you. I could do any which way that you understood what happened. You still would never say,
right.
well, then, okay.
Exactly.
I'll accept it.
Exactly. That's what I say. It's like when we ask why, I think of that teenager who is told they can't have the keys to the car tonight and they want to know why. And if you gave them the answer, how often does a teenager, oh, that makes sense, thanks, and they just go to the room and find something to do? No, they want to know why so they can continue to argue with you why your reason isn't good enough. It wasn't a good enough reason, so I'm going to keep asking why. And there just is no good reason. It doesn't give peace.
And so blame again. Blame, shame, guilt, mm-hmm. regret. I'm going to go weird again because
okay.
you invited me on your show.
Yes.
These are very low vibrating frequencies.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you think about how you feel when you're feeling blame, shame, guilt, regret, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't feel like you have energy.
Right.
You feel really low
mm-hmm.
versus I'm happy, I'm joyful, right? Those are
excited,
higher,
yes.
Right, mm-hmm. higher frequencies. When we are in those very low frequencies and we stay there, we already know that grief will deplete our immune system. It really is a physical taxing
yes.
on our body.
Mm-hmm.
Now we add to it these constant emotions. Think about what we're releasing within our body of the chemicals that are going on. We are not serving our physical body.
Oh, that's true.
When
yes.
we are staying in these low mm-hmm. feelings. I always say it's a neighborhood you can visit, but don't build your house there.
There you go.
Right? If you want to go to Anger Alley, you want to go to Shame Lane, right? Mm-hmm. You want to go to Guilty Boulevard, visit.
Mm-hmm.
Don't build your house there. You don't have to stay. We're all going to visit it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right, yeah.
Identify, this is what I'm feeling. Why am I feeling it? How is it serving me to feel this? How is it serving others if I keep myself feeling this?
Mm-hmm.
Is this how my loved one would perceive it? Right?
Mm-hmm.
Ask yourself those hard questions when you're feeling that way.
Yeah.
And usually it'll help you. Because just because we have a thought doesn't make it true.
Exactly.
Byron Katie's work.
Mm-hmm.
Look up the work by Byron Katie. I use this a lot in my grief support groups. just because we have a thought doesn't make it true.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And yeah, believing a lie is just as powerful as believing the truth.
Absolutely.
And so, yes, mm-hmm. definitely.
And again, what's the truth? We don't even know mm-hmm. when someone has died. We just know they're not here.
Right.
And so that's the truth. Mm-hmm. Someone we loved is no longer here with me. Mm-hmm. You know, as my friend said once when her husband died of cancer, and I'm telling you, someday I'll write a book with this title. She said, people keep coming to me and saying, you know, he's still with you. Oh. And she said, if one more person says that to me, she said, I'm going to scream. She goes, I know he's still with me, but he's not bringing me my coffee in the morning.
Exactly. Yeah.
That defines it, doesn't
yes,
it?
Yes.
Of course, love does not die. Of mm-hmm. course, they're still connected to us.
Right.
I wouldn't want to be in a universe where they're not still mm-hmm. in some way connected to us through that love.
Right, right. And that's the thing. We have to realize it's love that keeps us connected. It's not the guilt and the regret. And because a lot of times what I find with the parents is they're afraid that if they let go of that, they're letting go of their child. And that's not what keeps you attached to your child. And that's what I was going to say earlier, was that sometimes we get so stuck in the death that we forget to honor the fact that they lived.
Correct.
And that's where we want to get to the place where we can let go of that guilt and honor the fact that my child lived and their life mattered. And how am I going to make sure the world around me knows that?
And I would add to that, I mean, that's what we call grief recovery.
Yes.
Right? Because we're changed at the mm-hmm. end of it. There's no finish line. It's not a
exactly.
marathon where you see the finish line. Oh, if I can just get through
right,
that, right,
right.
But grief recovery is us being able to honor their life.
Yes.
But I would say when we talk about parents losing a child, they matter can even be neonatal.
Yes, right? Exactly. Even if they didn't take a breath outside of the womb. Exactly.
Still,
they had life and their life mattered.
Yeah. My brother and his wife, they had a daughter and then she was pregnant and she delivered their son prematurely. They told them there was no chance he was going to survive. He was that premature. He was before viability. There was nothing they were going to be able to do. And yet they buried him. They had a funeral and buried him. Later they had another daughter. And if you ask those girls, they know they had a brother.
Yes.
They know his name.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They never
yes.
met him.
Right. Yep.
But he's no less a part of their family.
Exactly. It's so sad how many parents I hear from, or even people who aren't necessarily what, you know, the bereaved parents that they had a child that lived and grew and, you know, whatever. But they'll say, well, I had a miscarriage, so I haven't really lost a child. And I'm like, yes, you have. They've just never been given permission. You are a bereaved parent. You can't tell me that doesn't, the word haunt comes to me. You know, when you see other kids that would be my child's age, knowing it, just all those things, yes, you are a bereaved parent.
Yeah, you've lost that potential future.
Yeah.
Right, with this child that we're going to bring into the world.
Yeah.
And that's what it is again, disenfranchised grief.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
people
yes.
People will dismiss that.
Yes.
Or people will say things, and again, this is a book I'll write also, which is the stupid things people say
yes.
when someone has mm-hmm. died. And I always say when this happens, I want to bring up this point, is when someone says something to you, I call it unskillful.
Okay.
Right? Unskillful.
Mm-hmm. That's the nice word
and
for it.
They just kind of missed the mark. Mm-hmm. Is, I mean, and I know someone whose son had died. He was hit by a car. And somebody was trying to say to them, well, I know how you feel because I was divorced. No.
Exactly.
So all of you, I guarantee if you're listening to this, you've had an unskillful moment.
Yes, yes, yes.
I always say, look past their words because people will hold that hurt a long
yes,
time.
Yes, yes.
Look past the words and look at their heart. Mm-hmm. Are they trying to offer comfort and they just don't know they're uncomfortable?
They're offering the greatest pain they've ever known.
Well, and it could just be something that they're
saying.
Trying to provide comfort, and they miss it. Now, I'm going to give you the asterisk except. Some people are mean.
Yes,
I'm
that's
sorry.
True.
You will hear sometimes people say things that are just mean.
Yes.
Please ignore those people. Do not take those words in. But for those who are sincerely trying to bring you comfort, take their intention and forget their words, right?
They were there, you go. Yes.
With the words, but take in their heart. Take mm-hmm. in what they're trying to send to mm-hmm. you.
Because at least they're saying something instead of pretending like they didn't see you and walk away.
Correct.
You know, at least they're making an attempt to say, I'm hurting for you.
Right.
That's really what they're trying to say, is I'm hurting for you. I remember a time when I hurt really bad. So, yeah.
In whatever way they say it. I mean, as we talk about, and as I said, we're trying to dissect emotions, which is not always easy.
Right.
But I would say, you know, as we talk about this, that guilt and regret are kind of universal.
Mm-hmm.
Give yourself a break. Give yourself some grace if you're feeling it at all.
Mm-hmm.
But don't hold it.
Mm-hmm.
If that means you have to process it through the use of a skilled grief therapist, please do. If that means in a group,
mm-hmm.
right, where you actually yes. talk about it.
Yes.
And again, nobody's going to be able to convince you otherwise. It is a process you have
yes.
to come.
You have to release it yourself.
Right. I can't, you know, wave a little magic wand mm-hmm. and go, be gone.
Yeah,
it just
yeah.
doesn't work.
It's almost like it has to finally become heavy enough that you're just finally done carrying it.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Because it doesn't serve the purpose.
Right.
Right. And again, so in the Jewish religion, there's something called teshuva. And what we say is, if I have done something wrong and I ask for your forgiveness, and you accept, that's only step one, okay? True forgiveness is when the same situation or a similar situation comes up and I act differently. I have learned, right?
There's a change.
So even if it is something that you are feeling guilty or regretful for that you can't do anything about now because that mm-hmm. person has died, you still have the opportunity to have learned
yes.
from it. Right? And turn that into something more positive.
Yes.
And I think that's kind of where you can put that emotion.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So this mother that you gave the example of, whose child sadly was, you know, the mm-hmm. subject of a drive-by shooting, I'm sure from then on she was going to make sure all her kids
yes.
were in and all of that. But it's also, she became a victim's advocate.
Yes.
Right? She began to do something to help those other parents who also...
Right.
We're feeling similar.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where we can almost practice self-forgiveness, as I have learned from this.
Yes. Yeah. Well, this has been really good. I know we could.
Topic.
I know.
Oh,
and I know we could go on and on. We could just keep going with it. But we can't, because we have a schedule to keep here on the cruise. So I just grabbed her while we had a little free time here. And is there anything else? Did you want to read anything from the book? You feel like we've kind of covered everything?
All I want to tell is anybody listening to this, you are not alone. You do not have to grieve alone.
Mm-hmm.
There is help and support. And the most important thing is for you to give yourself some grace.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Be gentle and kind on yourself.
Yes.
And if you just do that, then...
You'll get through. You'll get there. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you, Nancy.
Thank you for having me.
I really hope there were some things in our talk that were helpful to you. I feel like it was a rich and deep discussion that I really enjoyed having. Nancy's conclusion was that guilt is based on something we did that we wish we had not done, and regret is something we didn't do that we wish we had done. Now, I want to share with you my email response to Nancy when she first asked us what we thought the difference was. Now, I felt like regret is a negative feeling based on an outcome of a choice we made that we wish we could change that affected us personally, and that guilt is based on the outcome of a negative choice we made that affected someone we love. So in other words, regret is something that, you know, happened, that we did, a choice we made, and it affects us personally. But guilt is when our choice affects someone else. Now, either one of these could have been intentional or unintentional choices, not realizing what that outcome was going to be. Now, I think there is a measure of truth to both Nancy's conclusion and my initial email response that I just shared with you, but I'm not sure that either one captures it 100%. Now, in a few minutes, when I come back to close out today's episode, I'm going to share one more really important thought on the difference between regret and guilt. Now, I did tell you before we left on the grief cruise that I would probably have information for you on when the next one is going to be, and I do. The next grief cruise will only be for 4 nights instead of 7 nights, making it more affordable. Now, it is set for February 23rd through the 27th of next year, 2026, and it will be leaving from Port Canaveral, Florida. We're going to be getting information up on our website soon, and I will let you know when it is available so you can check out more of the details on that. But until then, start praying about joining us on the next grief cruise a year from now. Let's go ahead with this week's birthday segment. Jeremiah Wolford was born on March 9th and left us at age 44. Rowett Matthew was born on March 16th and left us at age 23. Danielle Jerome was born on March 16th and left us at age 32. Daniel Wilson was born on March 21st and left us at age 30. We celebrate the day these children came into the world. We know it will always be a special day and it will always be worth celebrating. If you would like to have your child's birthday shared with the other listeners, I would love to be able to do that for you. Just go to gpshope.org/birthdays. Fill out that form, submit it, include the pronunciation of your child's name if it's something that gets mispronounced, because I want to be able to say it correctly for you. And the week that I share your child's birthday, Dave will also send you an email to remind you to listen that week so you can hear it. Okay, here is my final thought on regret and guilt. Now, I looked up the definition of both of these words, and regret, I read that it means it feels sad, repentant, or disappointed over something that has happened or been done, especially a loss or missed opportunity. Now, guilt, when I looked up that definition, it said it's the fact of having committed a specified or implied offense or crime. The feeling of having done something bad or wrong, the responsibility for a crime or offense. Another one said a feeling of worry or unhappiness that you have because you have done something wrong, such as causing harm to another person. Now, to me, this sounds like guilt is something we have done intentionally, knowing it was wrong. Regret is something we wish we would have done or not done in hindsight. Do you see the difference there? To me, there's just a big difference. But either way, Jesus paid the price. He did not just pay the price for our sins, but the Bible tells us in several places that He also removes our shame and our guilt if we let Him. Those are not our burdens to carry. God is the only true judge that can judge rightly every time. And you know what? God has been showing me lately that we can't even judge ourselves rightly because we believe so many false things about ourselves. And let me tell you, God is not judging you guilty. I am pretty sure that your child is not judging you guilty either of anything. Even if they knew they were leaving this earth and they didn't want to die, I'll bet it was because they had no idea how much better heaven is than here. Now, in the last couple of days, I've heard this illustration twice from two different places, so I'm going to share this with you as I wrap up today's episode. Now, a baby in the womb cannot comprehend a life outside of the womb. He is in a warm, secure place. He's provided for. How could anything possibly be beyond this place he lives, much less be someplace better? Now, of course, because we're out here, we know there is life beyond the womb, and we know how much that baby is going to be loved and cared for, and that he is going to see and experience an entire world that he cannot even imagine while still in the womb. And I really do believe that this is a good illustration of our life here on earth and heaven. We are limited to our understanding of what life is like here, not understanding that there is an incredible place we are yet to enter. But our children are there, and they are super excited for us to experience it with them because it is so much better than anything we experience here. Now, I say that to try and help you to release any guilt that you may be telling yourself you deserve to carry because of your child leaving this earth ahead of you. Regret, I think you can agree with me, is a much lighter load than guilt. Now, I don't believe that you intentionally did anything that caused your child's death. And that's why you do not have to carry guilt. Jesus wants to take that from you. So please let him. And as you lighten your grief load by giving your unfounded guilt to him, remember to hold on. Pain eases. There is hope.